All right. Hey, welcome again to LifePoint. We're so thankful that all of you are here. It is November. Can you believe Thanksgiving is upon us, everybody? Who's done their Christmas decorations already? I don't get you. You're weird to me. Actually, my girls were asking if we could do it this weekend. We got busy raking leaves and finishing up the yard for the fall time. You can't be raking leaves with Christmas music on. You know what I'm saying? Just doesn't work. Got a nice blister from it. Come on, that's manhood right there, everybody. That's just, if you don't get one of these in your lifetime, you've never pulled a rake. Something's wrong with you. Hey, well, welcome to LifePoint. My name's Mike Burnett. I get to serve here as lead pastor of our church, and I want to say a special welcome to all of you who are here for the very first time, to our first-time guest, LifePoint. Can we give it up for our guest this morning? Come on, everybody. Whether you're in the room or on the web or watching us online, we want to say welcome to you. Hey, I just saw where I told you guys we've got a young family that has moved to Saipan, which is an island in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, and they have about a dozen folks who watch. So Singe and his wife just had their first baby. Come on now, the campus is growing. So congratulations to those guys. And wherever you're watching, in Tanzania and Korea, if you're watching in Germany, we want to say welcome to all of you. If you're in Clarksville, welcome to you as well. If you would, send a text. Just text the letters LPC to the number 31996. And we want to send you just a quick follow-up and connection point. Promise not to harass you. But we want to say welcome and thanks for being with us. So today we're starting week one of a four-week series we've called our What About series. And we've done this series for years based on your questions typically. And at Easter, on our Easter Sunday, we would always give out a survey and say, if you could hear any question or any message preached by Pastor Mike or the team, what would you want to hear about? And we've answered all kinds of questions, everything from what about race and politics, relationships, marriage, sex, what about prayer, what about all these kind of things. But this year we didn't get the survey out because we couldn't gather on Easter because of COVID in person. But our sermon writing team met a couple months ago and really felt strongly, because of everything going on in our nation, we really felt strongly to develop a series dealing with the big questions about God. Honestly, we need to come back to some basics when it comes to God and his nature towards us, his kingdom, his word, his mission for us as Christians. So today, I'm starting this series with a talk called What About the Kingdom of God? Everybody say, Kingdom of God. As a guiding passage, I want to start from the Gospel of Matthew. Everybody turn with me to Matthew chapter 4. And I want to encourage you to lean in really strong today. I'm going to say some things that I think will bring some encouragement, bring some hope, bring some clarity about where we stand as the body of Christ. And this world, I mean, this 2020 has been a year like no other. And Stephanie and I have both said this. We're done complaining about 2020. We're just embracing it. But what does it look like to live as a kingdom of God person when the kingdom of this world is in such peril? Whether it's social issues, whether it's health and safety issues, whether it's political issues, whether it's we're still in a war, the longest war of our nation's history. There's so many questions about what's going on in our world, but what does it mean to belong to God's kingdom? The kingdom of God is where God reigns and we don't. I don't know if you knew this, God's king. He's king of kings. He's Lord of lords. He's first overall. He's got the final say. He's the Alpha and the Omega. Come on, everybody. I'm going to have the second crowd shouting me down, okay? You guys just hold it. Hold it close. Yeah, amen. Amen. That's good. Come on. Come on, somebody. How many of you know God is still king? God is Lord. He reigns. He rules. I want to start with a guiding verse out of Matthew 4. When it comes to how do we exist as kingdom of God people? We live here, we belong here, we do life here, we pay bills here, we raise families here, we vote here, we deal with sickness here, we watch news here, but we don't belong here. And what does it mean to live that way? That's why I started in our giving talk with Jesus just showing us how to show honor in a place where you are for now, but really giving to God because that's where you belong forever. So one of my favorite passages related to this, in fact, I studied this out in seminary, and it just changed the way I thought about ministry, about Christianity, about my faith in God. It's a text that sets up not only the rest of Jesus' ministry, everything Jesus did was springboarded off of the text I'm about to show you today, but I'm fully convinced that it should set up the ministry to any and all followers of Jesus. So let's read it together. Matthew chapter 4, starting in verse 23. It's the last paragraph of Matthew 4. So just in context, he's been born, his genealogy, angels appeared, all that kind of stuff. Then he grows up right at home, and we don't have any of that story really to tell except the time his parents left him at church. I don't know if they thought he was a bad kid or what. But anyway, they left him at the church, and he's teaching. That's a joke. If you don't get it, read your Bible. So now he's grown. He's been baptized by John the Baptist. And then he goes 40 days into the wilderness and he's tested by Satan. And every time he's tested, he says to the devil, the Bible. He goes, no, 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 the Bible says. He's just living on the word of God. I love it. And you can do that when you write it. So anyway, in verse 23, it sets up the rest of his ministry, okay? And it says this, starting in verse 23. So Jesus went throughout all of Galilee. Now the Galilee Sea is the big body of water on the north side of Israel. And the Sea of Galilee drains into the Dead Sea. But the Sea of Galilee, it is fruitful and like it is very wonderful lake with tons of fish and wildlife. And almost 70% of the ministry of Jesus was in towns and villages around the Sea of Galilee. So Matthew's making a point. He goes, look, he went through all the region of the Sea of Galilee and all the cities and towns. Watch this. Teaching, if a word's yellow, you should circle this, by the way, in your Bible. Teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. That is so key to what we're talking about today. And look, and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. It goes on to say this. So his fame spread. Did you know Jesus was more famous than Justin Bieber? Come on, somebody. He was famous. His fame was spreading like wildfire. And this is before the day of social media and internet. I mean, they were just talking about him, taking trips and running and telling people in other towns, you got to come in here. This guy who's preaching and teaching in our synagogues, he's healing everybody. He's healing their bad attitudes. He's healing their kids with some crotchety attitudes. He's healing diseases, every affliction, everything. He's healing it all. And he's teaching and proclaiming everywhere. His fame spread throughout all of Syria, which is a neighboring nation, by the way. He's getting famous all over the place. And they brought him all of their sick, those afflicted with various diseases, pains, those oppressed by the devil, those having seizures, paralytics, and he healed them all. And great crowds, not great like, oh, these people are great. Great as in scale. Massive crowds followed him from Galilee and from the Decapolis and from Jerusalem and Judea and from beyond the Jordan River. Okay, this would be the springboard statement of all the ministry of Jesus. A few things I really want you to notice from the text. First of all, Jesus went through all the Galilee area. Notice he's traveling. This word is moving. He is the word of God in flesh, right? It's moving, and he was teaching and proclaiming. Proclaiming is another word that we use for preaching. Like as a pastor, there's times I'm teaching, and there's times I'm preaching. I'm getting my preach on. Come on. And he's teaching, he's proclaiming the word, the ministry of Jesus included instruction, included correction, including training, including teaching and preaching. And it says that he was teaching and preaching the gospel. Now we can't gloss over that word. Gospel is a word that never shows up in your Old Testament. It is a New Testament word and it only belongs to the Bible. Like gospel is not a word that we use in any other context unless we misuse it. But gospel is best described or defined or understood as good news. Now you got to understand, it comes from the Greek word evangelion or euangelion, which is good news. And can I tell you, in the world that Jesus came into and entered into, in the place and time and the era that Christ entered into the world, when Rome had occupied first century Palestine and Israel and the Jordan and Syria and all of the Mesopotamian region, and Rome was the occupying force of paganism, oppression, tyranny, murder, all this kind of evil, and it's all politicized. Whew. Jesus entered into that place and he brought good news because there wasn't a lot of good news going on. Come on, anybody been watching national news this week going, we need some good news? So you turn on The Office on Netflix instead. Jesus was teaching and he was preaching, proclaiming about good news. And it wasn't just good news that you can save 15% or more on your camel insurance. Come on, somebody. The good news is this. Look at what it says. Teaching and proclaiming the good news, the gospel of the kingdom, parentheses, of God. The kingdom, the good news is the king is here. The good news is there's another king that reigns. There's another way of doing life. There's another kingdom that you can all belong to. And then it confounded people for 3.5 years of his ministry. Are you going to build a palace here? Are you going to set up shop here? Are you going to build an army here? Are you going to reign and rule here? And he's like, no, no, no. I'm here to tell you good news. It's not a kingdom built by man. It's not a kingdom built with our hands. It's going to be a kingdom built by God in you. This is good news because they were living with Rome. They were living with Caesar's occupation. They were living with terrible politics and backbiting and divisiveness and factions and dissension. It felt like now. And Jesus showed up and said, I got some good news. There's another way. There's another kingdom. There's another king who reigns, and you can be a citizen of this kingdom. The good news is that God's kingdom is here. The reign of God, the rule of God, the presence of the kingship of God is here. In fact, in the New Testament only, there are 69, at least 69 uses of the phrase kingdom of God and 32 uses of the phrase kingdom of heaven. They are mostly to be used interchangeably. These phrases don't appear in the Old Testament at all, which tells you this is some really good news because it's the first time it had ever been heard. Thousands of years for the people of God. The Old Testament, this people that were wandering in the wilderness trying to be their own kings. Come on, somebody. That is the way we are, right? And Jesus shows up on the scene after being highly anointed by God, and he's proclaiming and he's teaching. Hey, I got some good news. You might be living here, but you can also live here. There's another way. I'm way more excited than you. It says that he's teaching and proclaiming in their synagogues. Why? Because they had been reading documents in the Old Testament about a promise of a Messiah, a deliverer, a savior, that God would send an anointed one to deliver his people. And Jesus is teaching and preaching the good news. He goes, hey, God's done it. I'm him. I'm here. Luke 4, he reads this scroll from Isaiah that the anointed one has come to proclaim liberty to the captives, to open the blind eyes. And then he goes, you have seen the fulfillment of that old prophecy right now as I read it. He said, I'm the king and I'm here. His reign is for real. His rule is good, and it is good news forever. So he was teaching and preaching good news. Look at this. He was healing everybody. And he got famous. Can I tell you? That's who we need to be famous again. More than making America famous again, we need to make Jesus famous again. We need to make Jesus great again. We need to make the gospel great again. And listen, through us, through you, not through me only, but through us, he's still teaching that he's good, that he's a healer, that his kingdom is forever, and anybody's welcome into it. You know, the thing that amazes me in election cycles, I hear Christians all the time say this. Every time there's an election cycle, we go, we need to elect people in office that'll lead our country back to God. And I go, how dare you paganize, how dare you sanctify that office? Caesar is never meant to bring people back to God. Christians are meant to bring people back to God. You don't need an election to lead people back to God. You are the elect of God. Lead people back to God. That's good news. And listen, nations can get worse and worse and worse. Just study world history. Nations go terribly bad. But the good news, and it's the church that carries this good news, is there's a kingdom not of this world. There's a way of doing life that doesn't make sense to Caesar, to Rome, to 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. Listen, no matter where you land on what happened this week in the election, I'm not even going to disclose to you my disappointment or excitement because it doesn't matter. Because the good news is we're not in first century Rome. I mean, y'all feel that air conditioning right now? Y'all drinking that coffee right now? You watching on your little computer in your hand right now? But the good news is still as bad as you may think it is or as great as you think things are about to get, there's still another way. There's a better kingdom where God is king. We don't need a president to lead us back to Jesus. We need you to lead this nation back to Jesus. Oh, I'm preaching now. I need a little hiya. I'm about to start this right here on the feet. He was teaching and preaching good news, healing everybody. Can I ask you to lay hands on people that are sick? Can I ask you to prophesy into the lives of people that are despondent and despairing and those that are looking to the donkey or the elephant and not the lamb? Come on, preach the good news. He's still teaching it. He's still using us. And I'm a firm believer that Jesus should be the most famous. And look at the response to the good news. His fame spread everywhere and massive crowds follow Jesus. That's what we want. That's the greatest news that we could share this week. I told you last week, hey, don't post about what you don't pray about, and please just post about Jesus this week. Because let me tell you something, 20 years from now, we'll do this again. 16 years from now, we'll do this again. 12 years from now, we'll do it again. If you notice in the last 20 years, every election is the most pivotal election in the history of humanity. And I feel like people in Cuba are going, you don't even know how bad. People in Venezuela go, I wish. I'm just giving you a perspective. Some of y'all are like, I hate this sermon. Some of you are like, this is great news on the eve of my president getting elected. He's all of our president. My mom used to call me out. She'd be like, she'd say, your president, talking about Donald Trump. She's not a fan. I'll just leave it there. She'd go, your president, blah, 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 blah. And I go, he's your president too. Shut up. When I was in seminary, I studied the doctrine of the kingdom of God. It's when I really started thinking about that. And I started looking into how Jesus taught about his kingdom, where he reigns, and what it is and who's in it and how he governs his kingdom. I remember my first pastor, Barry Culberson, would say, the kingdom of any kingdom is always a king and all of his subjects. And how everything in God's kingdom is subjected to him as king. So then I started asking these questions. Am I a good and loyal subject of his kingdom? Am I a better subject of the kingdom of God than the kingdom of my political party? Am I a good subject of King Jesus? Am I only a good subject when everything else in this kingdom is working out for me? When the politics work my way, when the investments go my way, when my health is in good shape? Am I only a good kingdom of God when this kingdom is all flowing right? Can I just tell you, Jesus did not give his life to save Babylon. He gave his life to save Babylonians and to start a new kingdom where he reigns and he rules. Now, I love America. I love this country. I'm puzzled by what's going on right now. I really am tempted to run for president. I'm not kidding. I texted Mark Green. I was like, brother, you and me, dog. We're friends. We could campaign together. We'll fish together. I say, you do the smart stuff, I'll do the spiritual stuff. That does not imply that spiritual things are stupid. Anyway, as humans, though, think about this. As humans, we tend to reject kings. It's been our nature since Genesis chapter 3. When God said, I'll be your king, and Eve was like, no, wait a minute. The devil said, I can be king. I mean, all throughout the Old Testament, I'm reading in Judges right now. Where every time God raised the judge and it says the people did what was right or wrong in the sight of God. And they got what they deserved or they got the blessing of God, right? We tend to reject kings. As Americans, we are absolutely used to rejecting the system of monarchy. In fact, that's kind of why we started this country. This week, it's our, right? I mean, that's part of our struggle of King Jesus is we don't like kings. Don't tell me what to do. It's a free country. But we don't belong to this kingdom. Ultimately, we belong to the kingdom of heaven. There's not an American part of heaven. There's not going to be a Canadian part of heaven up there, eh? There's not going to be a Mexican part of heaven and a wall between us. There's the kingdom of heaven where God reigns and his subjects worship him. Are we good subjects? Even when this kingdom doesn't feel good. Let's take it out of this last week. When the racial unrest didn't feel good in this kingdom. And it still doesn't. And that's not going away. We got to keep prophesying into that. When COVID-19 one of my mentors, I called last night for prayer. And he's been in a hospital for 8 days on oxygen, close to death because of COVID-19. He's a close friend. He's preached here twice, three times. Mark Hosfeld. I mean, things in this kingdom are not at a place of rest right now. We belong to a different kingdom. So what if I suggested, I got to preach my sermon actually, this is all just making up on the spot. So what if I just suggest today that people in God's kingdom are different? And what if I suggest that God's rule is not dependent on the vote of the people? I mean, if no one submitted to God, he's still the king. What if I suggest that belonging to God's kingdom is still good news and it's still for everyone? And it's different than any other kingdom ever set up on earth. That's what I want to explore for the rest of our time together. As you're writing notes, Write this down. Come on, everybody, write this down. God desires to rule. And here's what I love about this king. He doesn't conquer, he invites. He doesn't conquer, he invites into his kingship. This is what I love about our God. He's so not insecure that he doesn't have to kick into the earth and go, I will take it over, I'll dominate, I'll conquer. He goes, hey, my kingdom's open. Come if you want. It's his desire to rule. It's his desire to love you forever. And it's his desire to take you as you are, as jacked up as you are, as messed up as you are, as hypocritical as you've been. He still wants to rule your life. And he'll take you just as you are. Well, you know, I got to get my life cleaned up. No, you don't. He will take you just like that. Well, you don't know what I've done. He does, and he'll still take you. He's not a conqueror. He's an inviter. I just love that. Tweet that. That'll change your life. The Garden of Eden was the beginning of God's rule, but we quickly gave up on that. We said, I want to rule. I want to be just like God. And being like God has always been our pressure point. It's our major temptation, even now. I would say every time you and I give in to sin, it's because we want to rule. Come on, say it ain't true, right? When we choose to believe things outside of the Bible, I know the Bible says that, but I don't care. I'm going to say it this way. I'm going to believe this. We're choosing to be our own king. When we choose to live outside of God's will, I know the Bible says this about sex before marriage or adultery or whatever the case, but I'm going to do it because it feels good and God knows my heart. We're just choosing to rule ourselves. We live in a culture today that says, be your best you. Live in your own truth. You do you. The problem with that is Jesus went about preaching and teaching the good news that God can reign, which is not me reigning. Y'all hearing what I'm saying today? So are you and I able to trust that God can and does desire to reign and can reign? Can we trust that he's a good king? Can we trust that Jesus can rule as well and be good for us? We don't trust rulers. We think of the tyranny of monarchies and the tyranny of governors, and we just don't trust. But can you trust that God's a good king and he's for you and he can rule your heart in spite of what's happening around us? In the wake of a presidential election, can we actually trust that God is worthy of our confidence? I started praying this a couple months back, Psalm 20, verse 7. Some will put their trust in chariots or horses. And the metaphor there is he's saying some put their trust in the might of their military or the strength of their earthly leadership. But we will trust in the name of our Lord. We will trust in God. He wants to reign. Can you trust him? Can you trust that God is a good king? Listen, earthly leaders are flawed. They have issues. They are not God. Let me say that one more time. Earthly leaders are flawed. They have issues. They're not God. Whether it's your pastor, your parent, or your president, earthly leaders are flawed and they're not God. Whether it's military strength, age, and experience, or political persuasion, no one compares to the strength, might, and wisdom of our God. He can be trusted. He's a great king. So here's a couple ways I want you to understand this. God desires to rule our hearts. I'm going to give you the whole person of who you are. God desires to rule. He wants to rule your heart. Look at this text in Jeremiah 31. This is a messianic prophecy about those who would believe on the Messiah, on Jesus later. This is thousands of years before Jesus came, said about Christ and those who would follow him. This is the covenant, God says, that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, the days of Jesus, and now the house of Israel being the people of God who belong to Jesus. Look at this. I will put my law within them. That's my reign, my rule, my kingship. God says, I will put it on the inside of them. I will write it on their hearts. We don't look to the 10 statements on a wall, look at that and follow it. No, 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 it's on the inside of us. We live it from the inside out. The kingship, the reign, look what he says, I'll put my law, my reign, my rule in them. I'll write it on their hearts. I will be their God and they shall be my people. God desires to rule you and he wants to rule you in the heart. He wants to rule the way you believe and the way you process your life. He wants to rule everything that comes out of you. Mark chapter 7, Jesus said, out of the abundance of your heart do you speak and act and live. And God says, I want to rule them in their heart, not just in tablets on a wall, not just in rules in a book. I want to rule them and reign in them from here, from the core of who they are. God also wants to rule our minds. And I'll tell you, this is a week we need to hear this. Take every thought captive to obey, to submit to Jesus Christ. Some of us are dealing with real anger. Some of us are dealing with real excitement and pride and gloating. And some of us are in the theories of conspiracy, and we're just mad and we're vengeful. Take all those thoughts captive and let God reign your thought life. He wants to reign in your heart. God wants to reign in your mind. And God wants to rule and reign in your actions. Philippians 1:27, my favorite verse of the Bible. Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel. Only let the way you live your life, let it be a reflection that God is king, that he reigns your life. And remember what I said. God's not conquering you. He's inviting you. He wants to reign in your heart. This year with COVID and racial pressure, he wants to reign the way you think about that, the way you feel about that, the way you behave about that. God wants to reign because he's a good king. He's a good father. And remember what we saw earlier this morning. He doesn't care about what's the trade winds of the political pressure. He's always true. He's always good. Come on, somebody. This is another favorite scripture of mine. I learned it before I was saved, even. 2 Peter 1, verse 3 through 4. His divine power, the power of God, has given to us everything that we need that pertains to life and godliness, living this life and living it godly. And it's through our knowledge, our relationship, our connection to the one who's called us, who is Jesus. Listen, as you draw close to Christ, he's going to give you everything you need to live this life well, to live it like you belong to his kingdom, and to live it in a godly way. Look at this. So that through them, you may become partakers of the divine nature, so that you can reflect the king. So that you can live like, believe like, process like the king, having escaped the corruption that's in this world because of sinful desire. Y'all get anything out of this sermon today? I hope you are. I wrote a little bit extra today, so I got to get through it. God desires to rule as king of our hearts, our minds, our actions. He didn't just die to save you someday. Jesus gave his life not to just take you to heaven in the sweet by and by, but so that you and I may live like citizens of his kingdom now. Amen. Your whole person is to be ruled by King Jesus. If you have confessed, Romans 10, if you've confessed him as Lord, then he is your king. Let him rule you. Let him reign you. Let him reign your emotions. Let him rule your mindsets and your thoughts and your actions and your words. Let him rule how you respond to what's going on in the world around us. He's the boss. That's part of him being king. Amen? So here's the second part of his kingdom. I said it earlier. He doesn't kick down doors and come and run crusades and conquer lands to become king. He invites everyone to his kingship. He invites everyone to this family. And I know some of us have a theology that he's elected some and unelected some, he's predestined some and damned others. I don't believe that. I'll show you why in just a second. But in the kingdoms of the world that we live in, the kingdom of nation, kingdom of politics, kingdom of race, kingdom of upbringing, kingdom of economy, your class, whatever, there are those who belong and those who don't. Come on, anybody remember being a third grader on the playground? We have learned kingdoms of belonging and being ostracized since we were little. We continue to perpetuate this with neighborhoods with privacy fences. Stay out of my kingdom. Politically, you belong to this party, which means you don't belong to that party. In our world, you belong to the kingdom of America or your nation or your background, or you're a foreigner, an alien. But in the kingdom of heaven, in the kingdom of God, where God reigns, it is his desire that all people, doesn't matter your shade, your wealth, your poverty level, your sin or skin issues, all people are welcome to be citizens of God's kingdom. Let me show you this. 2 Peter 3, Peter's like busting out on the church. He's like, stinking, get to work. Preach the gospel. Quit sitting on your hands. Mike's international version there. And he said, you guys think God's taking his sweet time to come back for you? Look what he says. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise to come again and restore the whole world, right? As some consider slow, but he's patient towards you, church. God is being patient towards us, not wanting any person to perish. Come on now. It's God's desire. Not that anyone should perish, but that all people should reach repentance. The gospel is for everyone. People go, where's God in this pandemic? And God goes, where are you? I've empowered you by the Holy Spirit. I've given you the word of God. I've given you the power of God. I've given you the church of God. Where are you? I'm not slow. You guys are slow. Do y'all not hear God talking like this to you sometimes? What's wrong with you? God's not slow to come back. He's waiting on us to preach the gospel, to promote the gospel, teaching and proclaiming everywhere the good news that there's another kingdom. Not God doesn't want anyone to go to hell. God doesn't want anybody to perish. He's not predestined some to burn in an eternal lake of fire. He wants all to come to repentance. Look at it here in 1 Timothy. Paul writes it like this to his son in the faith, Timothy. He goes, God who desires all people. Everybody say all people. God desires all people to be saved, including your president, including your enemy, including your target, including your neighbor. God desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of truth. For there is one God, and there's one mediator or go-between or connector between God and men, and that is Jesus Christ, who gave himself as a ransom for who? Everybody. Say it with some sauce. Come on, say everybody. God's invitation into his kingdom is for everyone. He's not a conquering God. He's an inviting God. Church, this is where our part comes into play. Stop trying to build kingdoms here on earth. Stop trying to build your party, your persuasion, your politic, your camps. Let's be people who build the kingdom of heaven. Let's be people like Jesus who go throughout our region proclaiming and teaching. Like sometimes you just got to sit somebody down and say, hey, let me show you what I'm learning. Sometimes you got to look somebody in the face and go, sit down, let me preach at you real quick. That's what I get to do every Sunday. Some of you are like, I never do that. Well, just play them a video of this, okay? I'm having a way better time preaching this than you are hearing it, I feel like. If we've seen anything this week and this year, it's an overwhelming, listen to me, I'm going to say something, you're not going to like it. Well, if we've seen anything this week in particular, it's an overwhelming dependence on kingdoms of this world. I love this country. I'm trying to be clear here. I love the world that we live in. But we don't depend on these kingdoms. Or the kingdom of our politics, our racial history, our upbringing, our finance life, our gender, our sexuality. We don't depend on these kingdoms. This kingdom will never give you eternal life. It will never grant you good news. You want some bad news? Get online and read about it. The kingdom of any nation that doesn't allow God to rule, his will, his word, his way, that kingdom is not the kingdom to belong to. But everyone is welcome to enter God's kingdom, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. And God's not slow to get these people saved. He's waiting on us, church. Listen, it don't matter your age, race, political affiliation, skin color, skin, or sin issues. Doesn't matter if you're rich, poor, educated in a university, or on the streets. There's one way to belong to God, and it's through the person of Jesus Christ only. This may be not politically expedient, but there's only one way to God, and it's Jesus. I didn't write the Bible. I only preached the Bible. And you might think all paths lead to God. That's a lie. That's people trying to be kings and tell God how to get to him. And God goes, no, I'll make a way. I'll make it as simple as possible and as inviting as possible. All people can come through this one way. That's it. And listen, no matter who sits in the White House or lives in the governor's mansion or who is the pastor of your church, Jesus is king in the kingdom of God. And if you're his, then you belong to the good news kingdom. I love the attitude. Go back to Matthew 4. We started here. He went throughout all Galilee teaching and proclaiming the gospel, the good news of the kingdom. The very next chapter is incredibly famous. It's the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst, for they'll be satisfied. Now you've heard there's nine of those Beatitudes, and what I love about this passage is actually how open arms Jesus is with people. We've all heard this sermon, the Beatitudes preach, you better be poor in heart. You better be meek if you want to go to heaven. You better be pure in heart and poor in spirit and persecuted for the sake of God if you want to go to heaven. Well, those are just laws that we've just created because we're legalists and we're kingmakers. What Jesus was actually doing was working his crowd. He goes, you who think that you can hunger and thirst your way into heaven, he goes, you think you can just Pharisee your way and just knuckle your way into heaven? He goes, if you'll come to me, you'll actually have the heaven that you're trying to scrape your way into. He says, you who are meek, the culture says you're downtrodden, you're broken, and maybe it's circumstances that you can't control, how you grew up, how you were raised, your husband left you, whatever. You're oppressed, depressed, and you're on the meek side of life. Hey, if you'll come to me, you'll have eternal life. That's what he's doing. He's working his crowd. He goes, blessed are you, Democrat. You believe in the donkey, I'm the lion. Blessed are you, Republican. You belong. Did I get that right? Yeah. Blessed are you, Republican. You're trusting the elephant as a way of eternal life. If you'll come to the lamb, I will give you eternal life and hope. He's working his crowd. He goes, blessed are you, single mother. Culture says, this is your problem and you're washed up. No, no, no. I will be a husband to you better than anybody has ever seen in the world. And if you come to me, you will have fullness of joy and hope everlasting. The invitation in the Beatitudes, this is Dallas Willard's treatment of the Beatitudes. It's an open call that no matter what you're trying to do to scrape your way to God, God says, I'm coming to you. And he says, I'm the way to God. The kingdom of God is for everyone. Through faith and surrender. So finally, I told you I got to finish. I could talk about this for a very long time. But we live as kingdom of God people here on earth. I shared earlier when Jesus was challenged by the Pharisees about giving to Caesar. And he didn't go, forget about Caesar. I'm Jesus Christ. He goes, let's honor Caesar. Let's honor God. There is a place to be kingdom of heaven people while existing in this kingdom too. And how many of you know until Christ returns, we still got to pay taxes, pay our light bills. You should all pay your light bills, right? See me like, no, forget it. I'm going off the grid. Me and the candles, we're going to do it for a while. Winter is coming. I want to close by challenging you, especially as kingdom of America is in transition again, be citizens of heaven. Be citizens of God's kingdom in the midst of this earth. I've said it before. It doesn't matter what laws are passed or who leads us. We can show honor and give prayer to our leaders, but we will live our lives for Jesus because he is the king of our hearts, our minds, and our actions, not a president, not a governor, and not your pastor. God is king of your life. He rules like a boss. He's Lord. And when this world is in chaos, racially, politically, economically, health-wise, the church should shine brighter than ever. We are the hope of the world. We are the beacon of God's word. We have good news that Jesus is king and God loves everyone. Jesus said in the sermon right after Matthew 4, springboards him into this message. He says, you are the light of the world. Anybody look around this world right now and think, man, it's pretty dark out there. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot, must not, should not be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but you put it on a stand so that it gives light to the whole house. He's saying, this is you. In the same way, church, Christians, believers, let your light so shine before others so that they may see your good works. And look at this, and that they may give glory to your Father who is in heaven. If you're waiting on a political leader or a pastor to lead this world to God, you're the light of the world. My job is to teach, to proclaim, to equip you, to be the light, so that others may see your good works and honor the God we say we serve. Listen, let me bring some levity here as we close. Don't you love when preachers try to close like seven times? Finally, in summation, I'm coming to a close. I'm landing the plane. I'm almost done. Would the keyboard player come? I'm almost done for real. But I want to give you some perspective. We're in flux with our presidential election, with our Senate and Congress. We're not sure how we feel or what we believe or who we can trust, with our excitement or with our fear. I want to challenge our church. I don't speak to any other church but LifePoint. I want to challenge you with a few things that maybe you've never thought about it like this before. We need to realize that as America, we only make up about 4.25% of the whole world's population. Now think about that for a second. America makes up less than 5% of the world's population. So what seems huge, and it is, it's on us right now, just isn't huge to 95% of the rest of the world. And if you're a Democrat, you're half of this country's population, which means you're in about 2.12% of the world's population. If you're a Republican, you're in about 2.12% of the world's population. That means 98% of the world is not stressing like you are. So what seems huge to us isn't huge in Burkina Faso or Tanzania or India or China. Now, I know that we are a strong nation. I believe we're the greatest nation in the world. But our world is very big. And people in every other country are having their own issues. But let me give you another stat. As Christians, as citizens of God's kingdom, we make up a third of the earth's population. So we're actually a part of a kingdom that's winning. We're a part of a kingdom that's expanding. It's the fastest moving movement. It's the fastest growing movement on the planet. Right now, in China, in Iraq, in the third world, in Latin America, the church is exploding. Right now, your giving is helping Tanzanian pastors. Wait a minute. Your giving is helping Tanzanian pastors plant 10,000 churches in the next 10 years through generosity to Priority One. The kingdom of God is expanding. You're on a winning team. A third of the world is Christian and it's growing. Don't forget what kingdom you really belong to. I'll get to travel next year to Tanzania to preach at a dedication service for the new seminary that you guys have given like $75,000 to help build. And I get to preach the dedication service over this brand new seminary to train. Their goal is 15,000 pastors to start new churches in Tanzania. They want to be the world epicenter of revival for the world. The kingdom of God is winning. It's growing. It's advancing. That is some good news right there. And we serve a king who's never getting voted out and never getting voted in. So here's what we do. Number one, I want to ask you to pray. I want you to pray for leaders, those who rule. First Timothy says, pray for those who rule. It doesn't say the ones you like. Pray. Pray for your own soul. Pray for your neighbors. Second, I want you to preach. Jesus went about teaching and proclaiming. I want you to do what Jesus did. See, some of us are so rattled, we're going, well, who would Jesus vote for? He would preach. Who would Jesus argue with? He'd be proclaiming. Who would Jesus rattle cages with and protest? He'd be protesting the devil and doing it by preaching and proclaiming the good news. And I want to ask you to live your life in a way that honors the gospel. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Paul writes, for to me, to live this life is to live for Christ. And to die is gain. And I put these parentheses here, so please, I'm not trying to add to the Bible and go to hell or nothing. Some of y'all are like, oh, no, he didn't. For me to live this life is for Jesus. And to die is gain, to be with Jesus. Can we remember the King of Kings in this season? Can we look to the King? Can we look to the hills? Can we repent of our sin? Can we just say, God, you reign, you rule, you're bigger than all of this? And let's stay on the winning team. Hey, Republicans, Democrats, Independents, and the other camps, I want to ask you to give your whole life to Jesus. He's the only king that'll never fail you. He's a good king. He's a great father. He's a lover of your soul. He's never going to push his way in to conquer you. He's always going to invite you to be conquered, though. And so that's the invitation for the end of this message today. If you would do me a favor, come on, let's stand across the room. And if you're watching online, I want to encourage you to stand. I'm going to lead us in a prayer. I'm going to ask nobody to leave right now. Come on. Give me one more minute. Don't roll out of here. This is a moment. Because I think we have to deal with the question of what kingdom have I been building? And what kingdom have I been belonging to this year? Let's lay down those kings. Let's repent of that. Love your nation. Vote. Render to Caesar. But let's be kingdom of God people first. Can we open our hands to the Lord? Come on, Father, we love you. We thank you that you love us. Thank you, Lord God, that you're good for us, that you're good to us, that there's none like you, Jesus. That God, you're the Alpha, the Omega, the first, the last, the beginning, and the end. We thank you, Lord God, that there is none like you. You'll never be voted out. You'll never be voted in. You will always reign supreme as God over all. And Lord, now, we submit ourselves to the reign of God. We surrender our lives to the King. His name is Jesus. Lord, we pray for our president, the one leaving, the one coming. We pray for the anointing of God, the hedge of protection, the Spirit of God to revive their soul and their cabinet. In Jesus' name, we will speak with honor. We'll speak with prayer. We pray for our governor, our mayors, congresspersons, our senators. Lord, may the Spirit of God raise them up in this season to lead according to the Word of God. I pray for a revival to hit D.C. But Lord, we submit to the King of Kings. We submit to King Jesus. Lord, we give you our hearts, our minds, our actions. We're all in. We're all yours. To God be the glory. Lord, may we be the light of the world, that our light would shine, that others would see our good works and glorify the God of our salvation. Everybody pray this with me. God, I believe in Jesus, that he's the only way to God. He's the greatest king ever in the history of the world. I surrender to the kingship of Jesus. I confess my sin. I repent of my ways, trying to be a king, build my own kingdom. I commit to Jesus as the king of my life from now and forever. In Jesus' name. Come on, everybody. Amen.